You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. We have made it to the final hour of our program. We appreciate you coming along for the ride. I know a lot of you join us in the middle. Maybe you don't hear all the news that we share with you when we first come on the air. Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner and the man in the middle. He's the one that both the ACC and the SEC have been courting to come over to their side, and that's exactly what he did. He spoke earlier today.
You've spent a lot of time with the other conference commissioners, and I think there was some presumption that what that meant was that we were all going to be in lockstep. In the end, I think we all have to do what is best for our individual conferences, and we're not all similarly situated. In the case of the Pac-12, they've got a really tough situation in Southern California, and who are their flagship schools there, and San Francisco has been a hot spot off and on. So, you know, I think each league has to make its own decisions. When they made the decision that they made, certainly it causes us to look at the things that they indicated were drivers for them. And we have to make our own assessments on those same criteria. What we have heard from our experts is that that some of the ramifications of the virus can be mitigated and can be properly managed. And as long as that continues to be the case, they believe that we can safely conduct competition and safely conduct practice. If we get to the place where it's their considered opinion that we no longer can do that, then we will be able to pivot very quickly to another course.
Bob Bowlesby earlier today on why they are still alive for a college football season. About an hour and a half ago, another one of those important commissioners, Mike Oresko from the American, joined us.
And I think it's easier, in my view, to shut down than it is to go forward, because then, you know, you say, well, I'm washing my hands of it. I don't have to worry about it. But I worry about what happens to our student athletes if they're not in our protocols, if they're not playing, if they're not doing something that they love to do. We can talk about that, but you really do think about all the different aspects of it. And you have a lot of people relying on you to make the right judgments and to make the right decisions.
Let's get back to the calls before we talk to Steve Spurrier. John is up next from New Orleans. Hey, John.
Hey, guy. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you.
So I know listening to the various opinions, you know, you can kind of hear and interpret what you want, but doesn't it seem to be that we've got to define really what the optimal goal is here? We're not going to have zero cases of the coronavirus, nor are we going to have zero cases of the flu. I mean, one thing I've learned throughout this whole process, I had no idea, you know, for 54 years, I never got a flu shot. The last 4 years I have. Seeing the death numbers of what happens with that is scary too. So there's always chances people are going to get sick. They're going to get the coronavirus. And I think that somebody's got to kind of say, okay, we're expecting to see some cases pop up. And rather than cancel games, you know, Major League Baseball had the right idea. They haven't implemented it, but they had substitute players that they were supposed to implement if needed. And maybe there needs to be a line drawn. If, hey, if a college team has five or more cases, hey, they have to postpone or call that game off. There's really not going to be flexibility to play it again later. They just got to postpone it. And if there is going to be a playoff, people would just have to take that into account. If the quarterback at Clemson doesn't play a game against North Carolina and they lose it, I don't think they'll hold that against them. So, you know, look, there's chances, unless we're going to decrease the speed limit down to 5 miles an hour, we're probably going to have a death or two as people try to come to games. So you can't live life without any chances. And I know, I'm not trying to belittle it at all. Don't hear that, please. I'm not trying to belittle it. I know it can be tough if you get it. But it just seems to me that we need to go about it understanding we're going to have cases. I mean, even when you said if we get it together, we can have a season. Somebody earlier said if we can just all stay in good health. And I want to know what that means. What's the definition of that? Zero cases? Because if that's it, we're never going to play. I mean, if that's
Well, first of all, John, I mean, let's just pick out any school, LSU. They had a rage of cases, a rash of cases, about 2 months ago when all the players went out to some bar. That's the bad news. The good news is they dealt with it, and I don't think they've had too many cases since. So, you know, they took a chance. The players learned, and hopefully that message has gotten around pretty much everywhere.
I think it has, but I don't think that it's the litigation issue, because if that's it, they wouldn't even be having school and letting students come. But you can't say that the players are more important than school, and we can't say that it's worth the death of anybody, for goodness sakes. But yet, on the other hand, we've even read about a coach down here in Louisiana, a college coach that died a couple of weeks ago on the practice field. Things in life are going to happen. So I'm glad to hear that somebody or a few of the people, you know, look at things differently. And I understand that we've seen it in politics as well. Fauci might would have shut everything down, and maybe that's the only way to shut everything down, to take zero risk.
But let me say this: the epidemiology view, and I don't agree, John. But I've talked to enough of them by now. Unfortunately, they have this view that if you shut the whole country, we missed it the first time. I had one tell me the other day, if you shut the entire country down today, 6 weeks later, the virus would be gone. Well, I don't really believe that, because you can look around the world and see that everyone who shut down is still dealing with it. Some are worse than others. I agree with you. You work, I work. I hope everybody can figure a way through this, and I'm fortunate that I'm still working. Everyone isn't that fortunate, because the destruction of the economy has been detrimental to a lot of people in this country.
Well, you know, I've talked before, I'm in a hospital system. Mm-hmm. I've seen it firsthand in 32 hospitals, you know, around the country. And so I know the effects of it are real, but sure. At the same time, we also know enough information, and we can try our best to try to avoid the best we can. We're going to cancel some games, but so be it. Let's go for it. Let's do it. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's be positive about it instead of negative about it. Positive people always went out over negative. And I'm not saying we got to be dumb here and make rash, stupid decisions. It's not about, oh, I'm worried about the players and mental health and things like that. Look, we'd get through all that. If it were that dangerous, I would be the first, and you would too, to say, hey,
we can't. Yeah, we had a guest on earlier, a commissioner, who talked about that. I mean, I think that was an issue in March. I think we're beyond that. Everyone's giving it their best shot, and if it shuts down, then players deal with it. I'm more concerned about the fans than I am the players.
I am too, Paul. But let's push ahead.
Okay, I agree. Let's do it. I am going to take that attitude. That was the call of the day for me. I'm going positive the rest of the way. Hey, thank you. Thank you, John. Always great to have you on.
Amen.
We'll take a break. Speaking of positivity, who better than Steve Spurrier to join us? He will be with us in just a moment. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check.
Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back, and we are having a few issues here, so we're going to try to be patient and maybe get the audio back. I'll try that right here. Nothing like a storm. Okay, do we have Coach Spurrier? I think we do. Let me go ahead and introduce him. Coach, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Well, great to have you on. We were having a technical issue, but we are good now, and we're thrilled that you are on the show. So thanks for joining us, and great to have you here, and certainly I want your reaction to everything that has been going on around college football. What a day yesterday. You've seen a lot, but we haven't seen anything quite like that, have we?
Yeah, the last two or three days have been tumultuous, I guess, and I really feel for the Big Ten guys. I do. And I started thinking, if I were a coach at one of those Big Ten teams, especially Ohio State maybe, or Michigan, or Penn State, Nebraska, what have you, and, you know, about a month or two ago, the ADs and the presidents, all right, you basically got to quarantine your team. They got to stay together. They got to eat together. They don't go to the bars downtown. They can't get out amongst anybody. So all these teams have done that for, oh, gosh, 6 weeks to 2 months. I don't know all the exact rules. And from what we hear, they've all done an excellent job. You know, if you go out somewhere, everybody's got a camera. So you can't get away with anything anymore like the old days. So all these coaches, their players have done exactly what they've asked, and then all of a sudden they come in and say, we're not going to play this year. What? We're not going to play? What do you mean? And, I mean, I can't imagine some of the players, say Justin Fields watching the Georgia-Florida game, Alabama-Auburn, and he's back home just watching on TV, and those other players too. It's I don't know. I think the Big Ten commissioner needs to call Dr. Fauci and say, Doc, give me some new news.
It's a good point.
And he comes back and says, we got to change the plans. We're okay to play. But I just, gosh, I don't think we can have fans in the stands, but I just wish college football would play during the fall like we always have.
Well, let's stay on that subject because, as you well know, the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC are left. They're struggling with it, and legitimately so. But if the commissioners of any, and you know these guys, if they called you, would you tell them just do whatever you can to figure out a way to play?
I would try to do exactly what I think our commissioner has done. Greg Sankey has said we're postponing any serious announcement until we have all the facts and so forth. And with three of the Power Five conferences, you know, ready to play, I think we can have college football. I really do. If we have to watch on television, so be it. But these guys are pretty safe. They really are, Paul. Sort of reminds me of, remember the movie The Longest Yard, Burt Reynolds and all those guys? Well, right now, the college football players, they are the prisoners. They're the prisoners. They got nowhere to go but to practice and back to their cell or back to their dorm and eat together, and they're getting ready for ball games. And that's sort of the way all these teams have been living for the last couple of months or so. So I just believe they all have a right and deserve to go play the game. They want to play, and they want to compete against the other guys, you know. Most people nowadays live, let's say, 80 years, and these young men have 4 years to play college football. So you hate to miss one here and there if you don't have to. So anyway, I hope something can be worked out that the Big Ten could come back, because only three conferences playing, it would be a little unusual. It might be an asterisk by who wins the championship, but hey, somebody would be crowned champion if just those three Power Five conferences play.
Well, you and I both know it's never stopped people in the past from claiming a championship, but this would at least be as legitimate as it could be.
I think so. And, you know, we could still have, the college football playoff. You got three champs there, and then you could have an at-large team, one team that, didn't win the championship in their conference, but, ranks the highest and so forth. So you could still have your committee meet on that fourth team. You could have Reese and Herbie do their show all the time, and everybody try to figure out who that fourth team is, and then have us a good little playoff.
Let me ask you about another aspect of this. You coach in a spring league and very successfully a couple of years ago, but everyone who folds, and the Big East just announced it was canceling as well, they say they're going to try to play in the spring. Coach, in your estimation, is that a good idea?
No, I don't like that. I think that time of the year belongs to basketball. And, in hindsight, we may have looked back and Mike could have played the March Madness with no fans. I think that had a chance back then because, we're not that much better off, or if we are better off with the virus, the amount of positives that are turning up all the time. I saw where Florida, we had more deaths yesterday or 2 days ago than at any time. So this thing's not going away. It's not going away, and I'm not sure it's going to go away in January or February. So I wish we would all play and go from there.
Talking to Coach Steve Spurrier about the move to college football, and I'm curious because you coached during a lot of very difficult times, including 9/11, which postponed a critically important game for you and may have changed the outcome of the season. But if you're Dan Mullen or any of these coaches right now, I'm interested in what you think, how you think they're handling it, and what are the really biggest challenges, assuming we get to the season and try to march on.
Well, the biggest challenges, I think, are keeping your players together, keeping them from mingling out on the town and things like that in large groups. That's where the virus is spread, as we all know. And leadership on the team is very important, of course. Coaches and assistant coaches, they can only do so much. But if you got good senior leadership, they'll tell the players, hey, stay away from people. We're in this thing together. You got the rest of your life to fool around and mess around when the season's over and all that kind of stuff. And I think most of these college kids are doing that, from what I understand. My son Steve Jr. is out at Mississippi State with Mike Leach, and them guys are running around, flying around. They want to play. Everybody wants to play. And if they stay safe, and it's possible to stay safe, I think we can avoid a big rash of spread as we go through.
Coaches, you've seen, I'm sure, the schedule, and there's a lot of built-in protections with two bye weeks. Would you try to manage your team any differently, understanding the issues? And what I mean by that is some people have suggested even breaking up position groupings to try to protect them from one another.
Yeah, I think that happens when they've been working out, groups of 8 or 10 here or there, and when they're eating together, table for maybe 4 to 6, something like that. But they spread them out, yeah, and I think that's common all through the country right now. And I think the Big Ten guys have been doing that very well. So I feel for all those guys. Pac-12, I mean, there were some good teams out there, Oregon and Washington and Herm Edwards' team over there in Arizona State. Those guys, they want to play also. So I don't know. Maybe they ought to rethink it, some of those commissioners, if they could.
Yeah, well, I think it's highly unlikely that they will. But what was your reaction? Because there was such you were never shy about offering a rational opinion. But you heard the coaches this week. Do you feel like the coaches were being listened to?
Not really. No, it's hard for the coaches to have much of a voice, but they should, I would think. And the coaches have done everything with their team pretty doggone well, or else we'd be hearing about it. We'd be hearing about a spread at Nebraska or at Penn State or wherever, and we haven't heard anything. So I think all the coaches have done an excellent job at those schools, and I don't know. I think somehow or another the threat of being sued if one of the players got a serious case and died or something like that is what has scared those two conferences.
Coach, before you go, I am curious about some of the other things that are going on in and around college football, and that's players not only speaking out on social justice. I think that was understood, but now some are saying they want change. They want they want money. I mean, you've read the same stories I have. I'm really interested in your thoughts about players wanting to unionize.
Yeah, they came up several years ago, what, Northwestern, I guess.
Right.
And they've got the Pac-12, some of their guys, I guess, are into that and list some demands and so forth. Of course, you know, Paul, I was one of the first coaches to say we need to give our players some money. They need
right.
more than a scholarship for what they bring in to the university, and coaches are making millions. Even assistant coaches are making millions now. And the athletic directors and all the program, maybe it's time to triple up that little cost of attendance from about $4,000 to about $15,000 a player, something like that. That's just, you know, something to say, hey, we realize how much the performers make for us, and we're going to reciprocate a little bit. But I guess that's down the road a little bit. But, yeah, I hope they don't unionize. I still think college sports should be like it's been. But it may be time to, you know, put a little extra cash in their pockets.
Coach, before we go, how have you been doing? I know it's different. It's a different time for everyone. How are you and Jerry and all your family coping?
Yeah, we're doing well. Fortunately, we got the beach, Crescent Beach, St. Augustine Beach, about an hour and a half drive away from Gainesville. So we've been going back and forth from there. But it's a little boring right now, I got to admit. Have to watch you on TV every now and then to get some excitement.
But, you poor thing.
But anyway, yeah, we're doing fine. And again, you know, if people are safe, you know, avoid big crowds, wear your mask. Heck, I got about two or three masks I keep in my car all the time. So we try to do everything they tell us to do.
Well, it's always great to catch up. Your words bring a smile to all of our faces. We put up your comment from yesterday about that you gave to Pat Dooley, and everybody got a chuckle out of that, especially this morning on some of the ESPN shows. Coach, hang in there, and we are hoping to talk to you soon.
You know, I didn't realize somebody told me the Big 12 was not going to play, and so I just put the ACC versus SEC. But now that they're in the mix, now we got a chance for, you know, that at-large team and have the regular playoffs. So I wasn't trying to slide Oklahoma and those guys over there, okay?
No, I wouldn't think so. I would think you're a pretty big fan of Lincoln Riley. Hey, Coach, be well, and hope you'll come back soon.
All right, always good talking with you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Coach Spurrier joining us, always entertaining, and that was fun.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we're back, and let's get to some calls after Coach Spurrier, and Tim is up next. Hey, Tim, thank you, and good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Feinbaum. I appreciate you taking my call. First-time caller. It's a great honor.
Wonderful to have you.
I want to first thank you for someone called a couple of weeks ago about you and photographs, and you gave me a wonderful photograph at the SEC Championship in Atlanta last year, so I want to thank you for that.
Well,
you're very cordial.
Thanks for saying
that. Think you're heading to your show. So anyway, I'm just a dad with a daughter about to go back to school, an SEC school. And, you know, I just asked for a moment to just, you know, we hear so much. I've been listening to the show for 3 weeks, some great callers. I think a guy named Andy had called in about his daughter's going back to school. And the primary thing I keep hearing is student athletes. It's very important on these student athletes, what the commitment that you know, to their craft, particularly football players, you know, their high school commitment. But there's also a bigger commitment right now as these students are going back. And there's a lot of nervousness. You know, my dad, you can probably hear it in my voice, you know, and I told the nice gentleman taking my call that, you know, you kind of approach this like until the day comes. I think we're leaving Friday, take the University of Georgia, and, you know, there's just a lot of reservations, a lot of unknowns to just go into the campus. Everything's changed quickly. You meet a roommate for the first time. You know, you're looking at protocols. It was funny, while I was on the break, I kind of looked at, like, and I'm very aware of the facilities. She'd be going back to Georgia. I looked at the facilities, you know, that the players have, and they're impeccable. And I think there's possibly a way to do this to protect these student athletes. But at the same time, these students who've been, you know, these SEC schools are hard to get into. These students have committed a lot also. So I'm not being argumentative. I just kind of want to start a little bit of conversation about school's about to start. There's, you know, these SEC schools, these kids have worked hard to get in them, and they're going back giving up a little bit too. They're going in classrooms. I found a picture of what a classroom is going to look like. And, you know, it makes you nervous. You know, there's a little...
Tim, out of curiosity, what does it look like?
Well, some of you got the bigger lecture halls that you're going to have the social distance. You've got the stickers. But some areas that look close in seating, but there's going to be some distancing. And the problem is, you know, a lot of things are reported where, you know, 6 feet's enough, 3 feet's enough. So I think what I'm trying to say, because I know it's a sports talk program, is that these students are making big commitments, and they're going back also, and they're trying to be safe. And, you know, in all fairness, they don't quite have a lot of things that the student athletes will have. And I'm being positive on that. I'm really making an argument that I think possibly football can be played because of the resources that the student athlete has, you know, the practice facilities, the way to social distance, the way to kind of be isolated. And so it's just kind of a perspective, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of nervous dads, a lot of nervous parents, because there's a lot of unknown with going back to school. So there's a part of it that says this, that, you know, my daughter's fortunate enough to be kind of on campus to experience a great campus, University of Georgia, be very near the stadium. So you almost have an expectation that if she's going to be there and she's going to be wearing a mask and hand sanitizers and distancing and meeting a roommate for the first time and going here, trying to stay outside, we're already doing protocols, cleaning everything. I mean, I spent, I think, about 2 hours a day trying to comb a Home Depot to find cleaning stuff. I think the resources are there to make these players safe. And so, you know, I like the very positive call. I think you said it was a call of the day. You know, maybe I'll be the second positive call today. I think we got to be positive, because I'm trying to be very positive in this household. I think I owe it to her to go over. They
Tim, if I could ask you a question. I ran into a Clemson student the other day, and he told me that there are I don't know if they're mandates, but they're suggestions of not to go back home. Is that going on at UGA?
Not right now. They've basically have really just put out a lot of the safety measures that are going to be in the classroom. And I do know this. I know on housing, I can't speak for off-campus housing. On housing, I know they have stated they're going to limit who comes in. I know once we go over and kind of get our period of time to move in, her mother and I, we're gone. You know, we'll be leaving. I think that's probably a good thing, you know, to have a limited number of people on the campus. But I hear a lot of the phone calls, and it's a commitment, it's a safety, it's student athletes. I know a gentleman from ESPN was on a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about they want a piece of the money, they want, you know, there's kind of another story being told here. They've asked these students to come back and start their academic success. They're really in the same boat as these players would be in. I just think that's a fair statement. I just think your listeners, everybody should take that in consideration, be a father for a little bit, be a mother, and think of that. Some of these, I can't speak for other SEC schools. I've been to some, but you know, University of Georgia, some of these freshman residence halls, they're 8, 9, 10 floors.
Yeah.
And these freshmen are going back. And I mean, some of them aren't modern structures. It's not a criticism at all, because Georgia's a beautiful campus. We're proud of how hard she worked to get in there. But, you know, there's a big commitment also. So, I guess it's a bad way to put it, to say, well, you know, sounds kind of silly. If the students can be there, and there's 30,000 students or 25, or, you know, I think Georgia maybe 25, 20 plus, and they're going to be there, and there's no football, I don't know. That's a hard pill to swallow, because there's already been a commitment made. So, you know, I know you brought up a really good point. It's an important point. I'm glad you showed great courage to say this, because a lot of people wouldn't do it. That's why a lot of people support your show. And I don't know, a lot of people depend on you and really listen to you. I listen to you every day. And that when you made the comment about possibly that was kind of brought up, that the students have to come back on the school to maybe justify playing. And if that's true, and that statement in that context was made, I hope that, you know, they're not just doing it to justify the sport, because there's a lot of nervous dads out here. I think the gentleman called in, he was as nervous as me, so he was taking two kids back to school, two daughters. So there's a lot of unknown. Everybody's going through, you know, a lot. But I just kind of wanted to point that out, maybe start a dialogue, get some other dads, what's their feeling. You know, I almost feel like if I go back, and I'm going to do everything from our independent resources, because I don't have football resources, but if I can tell her, hey, go back, be positive, wear your mask, communicate well with your roommate, clean your hands, social distance in the class, you know, don't get close to the instructor, stay outside as much as you can. There's a lot going on. Maybe, you know, maybe with the resources, these football guys can get this down in and play, you know.
Tim, let me say this, because we are late to go, but I can't thank you enough for sharing that. I think everyone needed to hear that, and that was a fantastic call. And all the best to you and your family and your daughter, and stay in touch, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And real final note, that picture of you and me at the SEC, I have you on the mantle with Chipper Jones. That's pretty good timing.
That's great. You made my day. Thank you.
Sir.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.